In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Football Monday on WGR. That means Eric Wood, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Bills over the Bengals in a fun game, 39-34. Eric, before that Benford play, it was, I guess I would have to say, thinking about that playoff game all day. Just, it was snowing, and it just looked like the Bills did not have enough answers. But then Benford happens, they take the lead there, and it's theirs. So, I don't know, where was your head before that play?
Yeah, I was thinking it looked pretty similar. Our offense was having a much better day yesterday prior to the Benford day, but unable to keep pace with them with a turnover on downs at one point in the game, and then the James Cook fumble, which essentially just allowed them to outpace us throughout the game. I mean, three possessions for each team in the first half. Both teams were so efficient that there just wasn't that many possessions. So you thought, well, we got to make a game-changing play here at some point, or else we're likely not going to be able to get back into this one. And fortunately, they fire a corner blitz. It appeared Burrow decided he was going to throw out of a run play to Chase on the outside, and Benford makes him pay. And I mean, Christian Benford, he's going to get a lot of hype for that play and running in the touchdown and the interception he had against the Steelers. But I mean, he has been playing some incredible ball. You know, I was trying to think, you know, early in the season, he was taking some lumps in the media and whatnot after getting a contract extension. And to me, I think we all kind of glossed over the fact that him and Tre'Davious White both suffered groin injuries on the same day, you know, as they get back to Orchard Park after training camp. And maybe that's part of the reason why, but that guy is playing some incredible football right now.
Yeah. And the timing couldn't be better. I mean, thinking even of Sunday, I mean, I haven't really started thinking hard about Sunday, but Diggs lit the Bills up when the Patriots were here back in week five? Mm-hmm. So, maybe it's time to like have Benford follow Diggs around. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be what they do, but he has been locking guys up. That's for sure.
No, I think in obvious pass situations, you likely do that. Just understanding that, you know, Diggs had a big game against you. He's, even though they do spread the ball around, and he's had, I believe, 300-yard games on the season, but nothing like the game that he had in Orchard Park where he went for, what, 147 or something in the game. And so, you likely do that in this instance. And, you know, with Diggs being older, he coming off the ACL and all that, he gets an extra rest heading into this game too, with them having the bye week last week.
You know, so much of getting a play like Benford made yesterday is just having the right call at the right time. I said sort of, I don't know if I'm half kidding, 25% kidding, that if the Bills had better luck rushing the passer with four yesterday, maybe Benford isn't even blitzing at that moment. But it turns out they were having a real tough time getting to Burrow at all. So by the time that part of the game rolls around, it's, you know, they're into the bag a little bit, recognizing that they, you know, got a big sack from Bosa last week on a play that Benford was also blitzing. Same sort of concept. That's why he's there in the backfield for the scoop and score against Pittsburgh. But I just think the circumstances sometimes are so random that you end up in a situation where you have the opportunity to make a play. Because, you know, I don't know how often he blitzes on that play. It can't be many times per game, if it's even like a time a game. But right moment, and there it was.
No, you're exactly right. And we've actually gotten a lot more aggressive blitzing corners. Now, I think some of that's alignment. And this isn't a conversation I've had with Bobby Babbage talking about this. I actually heard, I believe it was Josh Allen talking about facing the Chiefs and how if they were going to bring a safety blitz, but then you're in a tight alignment with the receiver, there's not really space for the free safety and the corner there off the edge. It becomes very obvious. So then you just fire the corner in that instance and the safety goes over the top. And so, you know, whether that was going to be a safety blitz or it's truly them firing him off the edges, they have been aggressive with those cornerback blitzes and they worked a good amount. And, you know, I can't point back to a play where we ran a corner blitz this year and, you know, they get it out to a receiver who makes a huge play, which is generally one of the reasons why teams don't call corner blitzes is because you can leave yourself so susceptible. You have to really pick and choose your timing of when you do it. You generally want it to be a run play. And if it's not going to be a run play, it's got to be a tight split by the receiver. So one, he can hit home, and two, guys can fill over the top quickly without completely giving away that you're running that blitz.
With Eric Wood, the two big Allen runs late, the touchdown, of course, and then the one that salts the game away. How was it that wide open for him on one or both of those plays? Like, Cincinnati, we know their numbers defensively, like, terrible. But to me, it seems like that should be something that they would, if a guy gets beat, so be it, Eric, but have been ready for. Easier said than done, I'm sure. But, like, it was so wide open for Allen, especially on the touchdown. Was there a mistake there that you noticed, or just a scheme mistake, or something that Cincinnati kind of blew in those moments?
Well, on the 40-yarder, they're running a blitz with man-to-man coverage. So as soon as Josh Allen gets through the line of scrimmage, he's likely going to be off to the races. It's likely going to be a big play, not necessarily a 40-yarder. It takes, you know, some speed and all that from the quarterback position to have that happen. And timely routes where you're not running into right where your receivers are. Deion Dawkins on the play goes out, blocks the end. He comes back and hits the linebacker because we don't have enough blockers. So part of, you know, Al Golden, their defense coordinator, is probably thinking, well, I don't need a spy. I have an extra rusher here. You know, someone's coming free. Well, Deion knocks, gets two on that play, and then all of a sudden Josh breaks through the line of scrimmage, and with the man-to-man coverage, he's out. And then the one late in the game to not have a spy in that situation, I'm sure Cincinnati media is having fun with that one here today. Or, you know, why weren't more guys rallying to the football? Why was everyone so far back? I get it's 3rd and 15, but that's not necessarily a sticks coverage where everyone's standing at, you know, 15 yards down the field. You know, to me, I don't know exactly how that second one was so wide open, other than the fact that Josh broke through a four-man rush, and it just didn't seem like the spacing of the Cincinnati defense had them in any position to stop him there.
That was huge. To me, like, that's the only – was there a timeout before that? There was a sack on second down, and then there was a time to think. And that was, I felt, the only thing other than a penalty that would get Cincinnati beat there was, like, Allen getting out. But it's still 17 yards he needs there, 15 yards. So probably he doesn't just walk to a first down.
I was bracing for a handoff to burn the time and a punt and then hang on tight and hope they don't get in range.
Yeah, me too. I wonder if he ever had any thought of throwing the ball on that play.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he did or – I don't know exactly. It didn't look like a true draw, like a quarterback draw play. Mm-hmm. You know, guys were out routes. Maybe if there's, you know, someone you can hit quickly up a seam or whatever it may be, you know, you take that and try and get 15 there. Or we've seen Josh create more time in the pocket and then ends up – I mean, he picks up third and longs at an incredible rate. And I've said that for years on the broadcast. Like, most of the time, teams have to be so conservative in third and 11 plus, and Josh routinely picks those up. And so, that was a huge play because you don't want to obviously give them – the ball back there with a chance you know, to come back and all that. So to ice the game in that fashion was a ton of fun. And, yeah, that was a big time play. And it was also a big play on the sack. I know they stayed aggressive, and, you know, you take a loss of 7. I think it was 2nd and 8. You take a sack to get to 3rd and 15. But for Josh not to spike that ball to either continue the clock to roll or to force them to use another timeout.
Right.
In that situation, that's the correct play. And instincts, you know, he didn't put the ball in harm's way, throwing it down the field for a potential pick. He didn't, you know, burn the ball at the ground. You don't want to, you hate that you take a sack there and back up 7 yards, but that's what you got to do.
It's better than stopping the clock. Yes, you did. For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Forgive me if you already mentioned this when Mike first asked you about the touchdown run, Eric, but how about Dawkins and Edwards on that play? It's subtle, but I think Dawkins talked about it after the game.
Yep.
How Edwards points out the blitzer, because we've seen them mix that up before. But Dawkins said without Edwards doing that, he would have blocked the man on his left, and that's the guy that Allen evades. And, like, you know, when they're sending numbers, you can talk more about this. Obviously, you know it intimately. You know, sometimes there's a guy you leave for the quarterback to handle, and in that case, it was the guy on the edge, and Allen stepped inside him and was gone.
Yeah, that's I love that Deion said that after the game, because a lot of times there's guys helping out each other at the line of scrimmage, and someone does something like that, and they don't truly give the credit where it's deserved. You know, but that's the sign of a good offensive line, that everyone's communicating at the line of scrimmage, helping each other out. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. Some of us are, you know, more keenly aware of maybe what a defense is doing on a snap-to-snap basis. Others can do things athletically than the rest of us can't. And, you know, we all use our skill sets and strengths to be able to hopefully be a well-functioning offensive line. David Edwards, it goes without saying, and everyone said this for a while about him, he's just extremely cerebral. So part of his role in the offensive line and being at the line of scrimmage is to communicate those types of things. And so really heads-up play by David Edwards to alert that. When you have a five-man protection on the backside, there's times where you'll throw hot, and then there's other times where you want it to develop a little bit, and so that's called double bumping. It takes a really skilled left tackle to be able to go out, get a shot on the defensive end, still be watching the linebacker in case he triggers, to then come back and get a shot on him. But that's Deion Dawkins.
So, Eric, it's New England on Sunday. The Bills are still chasing the Patriots, of course, 2 games back. Their odds are not great, even with a win here. They'll need New England to lose to either the Jets or Dolphins, even if they also lose to Baltimore first, to have a look at the AFC East. I'm not sure exactly how I'd want to ask a question here, because I don't want to ask something like, should they try? Because, of course, I mean, it's big enough, and you never know if that might happen for the Patriots. So I guess you just sort of keep your head down here. But it's also, you know, I think about this on the heels of last year, or even previous years to that, where the Bills they get to the end of the season and multiple guys are injured, and, oh man, the bye week would have been great. It's going to be tough to get there here. But so it's just like to say, it's important, but really it only ends up being important if New England loses either to New York or Miami.
Yeah, no, I see your point there. So, yeah, is it a rush Bosa back from the hamstring, or, you know, mm-hmm. you look at individual cases like that? No, I see your point completely there. It's not a win or go home type of situation. You know, you still have a strong playoff chance, even if you don't win this game. Of course, your chances at.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You know, winning the division, go down even further. I think I saw it at about 17% or 18% today to win the division, which is just going off of, you know, future win probabilities on games and all that. But, no, I mean, they want to go win this game and do everything they can and put themselves in a position that if New England slips up and we stay hot, we could potentially win the division. But to your point, this isn't a win or go home, so it's not a rush Bosa back, Palmer, whoever that may be for this week.
What should be the question I want to ask then? Like, no, you want to take it a little bit slow if you can with injured guys that are on the fence for this game. Sometimes we end up talking about schemes and the playbook and whether games are, you know, in short, important enough to
use all your best stuff.
Yeah, like, is this game that? You are hoping for a sixth straight division title. There's a lot to that. But in the end, maybe you don't empty the clip, so to speak.
Yeah. So from a former player's perspective, like, you're not thinking in that way at all.
Right.
You know, and I don't even know that the coaching staff would even say that out loud. You know, could Joe Brady maybe hold something back, potentially, you know, for a potential postseason rematch? Anytime you're going against an opponent that you could see again, you know, it's okay, we're giving them formations and concepts that, you know, we could potentially work off of better in a second matchup when they have to prepare for this. But all that being said, you know, it's up to the trainers, the coach, maybe the front office to kind of handle those injury decisions and all that. But these guys are going to coach and go out and play to go out and win this game. And, you know, you could talk about the Diggs storyline or, you know, the Patriots seemingly being back and all the talk that, well, now the Patriots have the best quarterback head coach combo in the division. And the fact that if you lose this game, it becomes a hat and t-shirt game for them in the locker room with a big time celebration. Yeah. I think there could be some safer decisions, but they're going to go out fighting in this one.
I'm imagining a scenario, just sitting with this for a moment, if you'll allow for this silliness, where Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, has in his office like a vault that can only be opened with like reading his eyeballs, and is like, these are the plays. Like they're holding back.
This is the Glengarry
like,
lease.
These are the ones we've been saving for January. Here they are. Treat them right. With respect.
They're in a safe that's inside of another safe.
Right.
That's funny. And then you pull one out, and it doesn't work, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Why didn't we just stick to our bread and butter stuff here?
Right, because somebody trips on a ball. There was a play they ran in a short yardage thing earlier this year where I think the right tackle, yeah, Spencer Brown is coming around. He's got to get a guy at the line of scrimmage to on the left side of the formation and trips on Osiris Torres's leg, and that blows up the whole play. And like it looked like a really cool idea, and it was absolutely going to work if – Brown doesn't trip on.
Well, now you want to run it again because the other guy's not expecting it at all. They won't ever run that again.
Right.
Eric.
Right. And to your point, I don't know that offensive coordinators have that vault. I mean, obviously you have packages and formations that may be safe, but I don't know. At what point do you say, well, shoot, now we need it? And then also I would say great offensive coordinators – who are around great offenses that have success, you find out what you do successful, certain looks, certain tendencies, and you just hope that defenses overplay them so that you can get to something else. And, you know, I'm kind of imagining, okay, we want to get the tight ends going early in this game yesterday. We know how bad New England struggles against tight ends. So we're going to give them a similar formation that they've seen, a very hard run fake, and the linebackers are going to suck up in the line of scrimmage and Dawson Knox comes wide open over the middle. It's like, I don't know that that was like a break glass in case of emergency. We got to win this game against the Bengals at home. Or if that's like, okay, we found success. Boom, now this works.
Is there something, while we're here, we're kind of in the weeds a little bit, but I'm going to venture just a little bit farther. A play that is definitely in the crosshairs with fans is the tunnel screen. To Shakir, Kincaid ran it successfully yesterday. It's a play, Eric, someone called us on postgame complaining about the play. It never works. And I'm like, they had it twice at least today that it got first downs and more. So it's not, right. I know how it feels when it doesn't work. It feels like we're not even really trying to run. It's like, we can't get open downfield, so here, just let's do this, right? And so it's a frustrating play when it fails, but it does work often enough to validate them using it. Is there something they can do off of that look that could be sort of waiting to be unveiled?
Yeah, I believe we hit Kincaid on a long pass earlier in the season down the sideline where Josh faked the tunnel screen and then hit him down the field. You know, even it, so we have formational tendencies of how you're – like you can't just run a tunnel screen to a one receiver side. I guess you could, and then you'd have your own lineman go out and block in front of it. But they likely can't get to a corner. You struggle to call that because if the corner's up, there's no one near him to go block. So – okay, if we get in a trips formation or there's multiple receivers to a side, teams understand the Bills have had a lot of success running screens, and they can make you pay, and Shakir's had long ones. Okay, well, now we have to spread out a little bit further. So does that open up running lanes better? Does it allow maybe some other concepts to work because you've threatened them on the outside? I understand they don't always work, but it can just be another added wrinkle within your offense that even when those don't work, it's the deep shot early against Tampa that Josh said, well, maybe that loosened up some of their underneath coverage, even though we didn't hit the one to Hardman. Those screens can often maybe open up the middle of the field and give you some other things based upon the fact that you have been effective with it. And then I think they're a great answer, which I think they're better as an alert play and not as a call it and run it all the time. Because yesterday the Bengals had 6 to 7 guys inside the box, one of those simulated pressure works where you have 5, 6, 7 guys right around the tackle box and you don't know who's coming. Well, you're really susceptible on the outside. Josh flings it out to Kincaid and he picks up a first down with ease. Like, that takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback and it can get the defenses out of some of those goofy looks that are really hard for us to identify at the line of scrimmage.
Eric, a thing or two here quickly as we close. The Chiefs lose again. I don't know how much of that game you got to watch last night, and Houston gave the Bills a very hard time as well defensively, but everything looks like it's coming so hard for Kansas City. Does it make sense to you? Is there a simple explanation, or is it a lot of things? What do you think?
Yeah, I got to watch every second of that one. Their offensive line really struggled against Houston's front with 3 guys out. You assume so, and then they lose their left tackle on the first play of the game.
Yep.
Tough situation there. Who was already, Wanya Morris is already their backup tackle, and then he gets hurt. So they were going to struggle in pass protection, which then Houston knows you're probably not going to be able to hold on the ball long, so they can get really tight in coverage and jump things, knowing you're probably not going to have long developing plays down the field. And, you know, Kelce drops a ball that goes for an interception. Kareem Hunt drops a 4th-and-1. Rashee Rice drops a 4th-and-short. It's like, they did enough to beat themselves, and then also just with the injuries on the offensive line, and, you know, Rashee Rice is a good ball player. Worthy's got some speed. Obviously, Mahomes is who he is, but, man, there's just not a lot on that offense that truly strikes fear in you right now. Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, you know, they got some speed at receiver with Brown and Thornton, but to me, they don't have a lot of guys that strike fear in you right now.
Mm-hmm. Now it's New England, and at the risk of bringing up a sore subject, there's a chance I'll be listening to some of this broadcast. I mean, there's always that chance. This is the toughest one to listen to. Anybody broadcasting from Gillette, because the fans are so close to the mic, Eric. Like,
yep.
There's like right in front of you, right? That's tough. I listened to their last game was a night game, and I heard a national broadcast. I'm like, there are a few fans, you can just hear everything they say.
I know. Yeah, it can be pretty annoying too, because unfortunately for them, we've had a lot of success there recently, And so they hear me and Chris projecting like towards the back of their heads. Yeah. Well, then they get offended when we celebrate a touchdown and all of that. And then they say stuff back to you and they want to mess with you. And I mean, I think it's a pretty poor design. And then they can say whatever they want to you, but then obviously we're working. We can't say anything back to them, which is like one of my least favorite things on earth right now is like people, especially with social media, think they can say anything they want to anybody without repercussions. I'm like, that's not the way the world should work, but it's where we live in.
That's right. Okay, Eric, we'll have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, appreciate it. You guys have a great week as well.
All right, thank you. That's our dude, Eric Wood, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances on WGR every Buffalo Football Monday are brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Sal's got an injury update from today. Sean McDermott speaking. We'll get to that and talk to Sal at 5. We'll look for more of your calls after the update next. 803-0550 to reach us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.